AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Navage.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Many Americans started their day by learning that President Biden had traveled to Ukraine, where he met with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. CBS's Nancy Cordes on how it all came together.
He arrived in Kyiv bearing gifts, a promise of another $450 million worth of military aid, including artillery ammunition, Javelin anti-armor missiles, and surveillance radar systems.
I thought it was critical that there would not be any doubt, none whatsoever, about U.S. support for Ukraine.
The president is now in Poland and will meet with that country's president tomorrow. Another earthquake along the Turkey-Syria border. It comes 2 weeks after the same region was devastated by a series of earthquakes that have killed some 46,000 people. The BBC's Anna Foster reports from Adana, Turkey.
It was very powerful, and what it felt very different to is the many aftershocks, which I felt here in southern Turkey in the days after the first earthquakes. They would be small earth tremors. This was clearly another earthquake.
The magnitude 6.3 earthquake today has killed at least three people. An explosion and fire at a metal and paint plant sent at least a dozen people to the hospital south of Dayton, Ohio. This man was in Oakwood when it happened.
A boom, and then you know what? A bigger boom. And then I looked over, and it was just boom. And then flame shot. I just covered.
Students at Michigan State University returned to classes 1 week after a gunman opened fire on the campus, killing three students and wounding five others. Sophomore Connor Moy was back on campus today.
Others may agree that this is way too soon and we should still be healing at home with our own families. But then others still have the completely valid point of coming back to school because we want to unite this community as one. It's really just got me the courage, honestly, to come back on campus.
Researchers say another person has been cured of HIV following a stem cell transplant. CBS's Matt Piper.
In the study published in the Nature Science Journal, German researchers detailed the case of a 53-year-old patient who was diagnosed with HIV in 2008. In 2013, he had a bone marrow transplant using stem cells from a female donor with a rare mutation believed to confer resistance to HIV infection. The man then ended antiretroviral therapy for HIV in 2018, and 4 years later, testing found no trace of the virus in him. Matt Piper, CBS News.
A record number of guns, over 6,500, were intercepted at TSA airport checkpoints last year. The head of the Transportation Safety Administration says it's a reflection of what's going on in society and more people carrying guns. This is CBS News.
Now there's a simple, easy, and effective way to clean your nose and protect your health. It's called Navage. Navage.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Happy Monday, February 20th, the day before the spring primary election. We are here, despite it being a holiday for some. We are here, we are live, and we are happy to be here. Jane Matinair, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. I just want to thank again Todd Alba for checking in with us last week. And I laugh so much in this job. It just makes me happy.
We really do laugh a lot here.
We do. Yes,
despite
we do.
The ticked off tee off that we will have that again today. But we really find irreverence in a lot of this stuff, and we hope you do as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes if you you got to laugh so you don't cry.
In a nutshell, yes.
And we try to really revel and roll around in that as much as possible on this show, As Goes Wisconsin. So we are happy you are here this morning with us, and we got a great Monday for you. So we do news this hour, including, as you've probably have heard, a certain sanitation company, the 1910s called and want their child labor laws back, or their child labor back.
The good old days.
But I think at the bottom of this hour, we'll rehash some of the details of that case. And they're not alone, because the Department of Labor has actually said that there has been an increasing amount of child labor law violations. And I think it brings up an interesting question around the conditions that children are in and the poverty that they're in, that they need to have these jobs and that we're still here. And that there is this idea of, you know, freedom to work. Which is true.
Yeah.
And this argument that some conservatives have as far as our child labor laws being too strict and in a short labor market, all of that, but also like in dangerous jobs like these, in third shift jobs like these, what are the conditions of the livelihoods of these young people that they are not free from poverty? So their only freedom is the choice to work in these kinds of jobs. So we're going to spend some time about that. And then the All-Star game was this weekend.
That's right.
But more exciting is the All-Star game may be here in a couple years.
That would be awesome.
Bucks put in to potentially in 2025 or 2026 host it here. And so we'll compare potential economic impact of that versus the RNC at the bottom of the hour. But to start off, pot, meat kettle. So, you know, we love talking about Dan Bice's articles, our own muckraker, and this election cycle so far for the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary race, which is tomorrow.
Yes, you must go vote.
Along with all of the other, if you have a primary in any of the races down ballot from that, whether it's if you live in Senate District 8, you have a primary. If you're voting for Republicans, that is also tomorrow. But mayoral races, if there's basically any race where there's more than two candidates, there is a primary race on your ballot for tomorrow. So if you voted early, congratulations. If you voted absentee, you can check on myvote.wi.gov to make sure that they have received your absentee ballot. You can track it on there. And if you haven't, if you're like me, go vote tomorrow. Are you voting tomorrow?
I am.
All right. We're voting in person tomorrow.
Yes.
So this is, this has been a interesting race, to say the least, already, largely because of the infighting that's been happening between the two conservative candidates, Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro.
Disarray.
Which doesn't mean that there hasn't been across the aisle bombs thrown at each other. Most of which, I would say, is Dan Kelly being very critical of Janet Protasiewicz on how partisan she is, and saying that she, her kind of coming out and saying, and I would say it's unusual in the way that she's talking about her values versus just talking about case law. But again, we're in this weird scenario where we elect justices and not all of us understand case law. And so she is saying where she stands on abortion rights, where she stands on redistricting. And Dan Kelly has been very vocal about how partisan he finds her.
Putting her thumb on the scales, I believe, is something he has said.
He tweeted earlier this month, the media and her allies, because of course the media is on her side, the media and her allies can deny it and run cover for her all day long. But when Janet for Justice tells you that she'll put her thumb on the scales of justice, believe her. But my question is, was it Protasiewicz that's been paid nearly $120,000 by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
I don't believe so.
Oh, no, that was Dan Kelly, who's been paid $120,000 by the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
And this is recently.
This is up, like, as recently as December of 2022.
Oh.
So, if you missed it, Friday afternoon, it was an interesting time to drop this because, people are typically starting to do weekend stuff,
right,
starting to check out. But Dan Bice in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dropped an article on Dan Kelly that not only was he getting consulting fees from the Republican Party, he was involved in consulting Andrew Hitt during the 2020 decision to have fake electors via Trump's non-election.
So I understand this correctly. Dan Kelly was paid by a Republican operative to help them overturn the presidential election?
Well, it sounds like he was doing a lot more than just that. But in his role, because, he lost in 2020.
Pretty handily, by the way.
Pretty handily. And guys got to make a living somehow.
Sure. Yeah.
And
bills to pay.
And so he was legal counsel, giving legal advice to the Republican Party. And part of his role was that he was at the center of the discussion in December 2020 with top Wisconsin Republicans over the highly, highly controversial plan to covertly convene a group of Republicans inside the state capitol in the weeks following Donald Trump's loss to Joe Biden. Yeah. And so we know this because at the time, state Republican Party Chairman Andrew Hitt, He's been in depositions. We know earlier this year we saw some of his text messages and him referencing Rojo being like, he's like, Rojo wants us to lie about this. And the other guy was like, what's happening? But in a deposition last year, Andrew Hitt said that he and Kelly had, quote, pretty extensive conversations about the fake elector scheme. Kelly was serving as the party's special counsel at the time. And he said, this is Andrew Hitt said, I had brought him on in Wisconsin to kind of help with, he's from Wisconsin. I brought him on to kind of advise on election law matters. And, but yeah, so he, and that, so that was back in 2020. But records show that Kelly has been taking checks from the Republican Party as recently as December, which was after he's already announced his candidacy for this go around of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. And not only that, but also back in 2020, he ran his losing bid for the state Supreme Court from the GOP headquarters in Madison. And so it's...
isn't that a conflict of interest? Is that legal?
I think it's...
It must be.
It must be legal, but as far as it... Is it ethical? Is it hypocrisy to be like... To be talking nonstop about Janet Protasiewicz and how partisan she is and not look in the mirror as far as you are actively working with the Republican Party as of 2 months ago. And so I just find it very funny that this guy can't look in the mirror. I mean, of course, and I know that this is, it's nonpartisan only in name, right?
Very much so.
Very much so. We understand that as soon as tomorrow's primary is over, the votes are counted between, I mean, and who knows? I mean, something crazy could happen and both Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell could get through, or in, you know, both Doro and Kelly could get through. So like, it is not a partisan primary. And so there is wild scenarios where it's not one liberal and one conservative judge going on to the general after tomorrow. Most likely that is going to be what we're going to see. And I think my prediction is that Janet will be in the lead. Janet will get the most votes. I have no prediction between who's going to win between Doro and
really
Kelly. And unfortunately, I think because Everett Mitchell just raised such a small amount of money compared to everyone else.
Yes.
And I think it says nothing about who he is as a candidate. And granted, we didn't get, unlike some of the other civic media shows who've had the chance to talk to some of the candidates, I haven't talked to any of them yet. Hopefully after we get into the general, we'll invite the two that get through
right
to come on the show. But I think, you know, some of this isn't always like the best candidate. Some of it's who raises the most money, who has the best organized campaign. But I think Janet will get through, and it'll be interesting to see between these two who get through. But I just can't wrap my head around the fact that he can, with a straight face, he being Dan Kelly, talk about how partisan Protasiewicz is while he was taking money and literally working for the Republican Party while he's running for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Not only just this time, but then he was running his campaign out of the GOP headquarters in 2020. So let me know. Do you think this is defensible? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Teach them bull summer pigment tricks. You son of a gun. Yeah! Come November election time. You vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for pigment, not for president. I am the judge.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge, and then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected overnight with lows around 19. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Highs level off around 31. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Chance of snow tomorrow night. Lows level off around 28. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I think you've lost your mind. I can't believe I came home to find my car keyed. Honestly, I'm way too tired to fight.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. You are welcome to answer the question. Dan Kelly, big fat kettle, because he's calling Janet Protasiewicz so partisan that she should not be eligible to sit on the court, while simultaneously he was cashing checks,
yes,
from the Republican Party up until 2 months ago.
It's fine, Kristen. That's fine.
And so while that is, you know, because we all know, yes, this is nonpartisan in name only. The stakes of who wins this race in April, the reminder to vote in the primary that is tomorrow.
The general's April 4th.
The general's April 4th, but the outcome of that could quite literally change the face of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. It's huge.
Like in certain ways, and I'm trying to wrap my head around this, and you can correct me if you disagree. But I think in a lot of ways, there is way more, the way I see this, there is way more for conservatives to lose. Because if a conservative wins, I feel like it's just going to be more of the same of what we've been living in since the redistricting map, since the stronghold on the legislature, since the court's been majority conservative. And so it versus if one of the liberal judges wins in the general, like this could be like if a redistricting case gets to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes.
Because remember, federal courts, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, not our circus, not our monkeys when it comes to redistricting and having those cases raised to their levels. And so if a redistricting case rises to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, there is a chance that we could overturn the redistricting maps we currently have before 2031, 2032, basically, as far as by the time we get the census, the 2030 census information back, do the redistricting process and have the new maps, which could solve so many things. As far as actually having a representative government in Madison.
And I think, Kristen, that is really the biggest thing. If Wisconsinites are satisfied with representatives who don't have to respond to what they want, like medical marijuana, like universal background checks, like red flag laws, like a woman's right to choose, if you are perfectly fine with your representatives getting paid handsomely for a part-time job, yet they never have to respond to your phone calls, your emails, your text messages. They can just do with it whatever they want, and they have been because they know better than you. If you want more of that, then vote accordingly.
Yeah. And that really is, for me, what I know there's other, you know, this is also, if you think back to 2020, it was the Wisconsin Supreme Court that decided the outcome of the election.
Yes. And if it had not been for Brian Hagedorn,
things could have been different. And there is a chance that we're still going to be a swing state. 2024 is still going to be as much of a battle for the president, no matter who the Republican candidate ends up being. I guess technically, no matter who the Democratic candidate ends up being,
right?
Whether it's Joe Biden, I think it's going to be Joe Biden. But that this whoever wins that seat likely will once again be the deciding vote on that.
Yep.
And so there are tons of cases that matter. But as far as me, what I consider, like, oh, Wisconsin could fundamentally change from where we've been for the last 12 years sooner than 10 years from now, basically. And that to me is worth a lot.
Again, think about representative government, which we're supposed to have. And yet, if you're an elected official in a severely gerrymandered district, you don't really have to care about your constituents. You can do what you know is better for them because you know better.
And that goes both ways, right? I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I had someone comment on, I love when I get this comment, and this is probably the video I'm going to make when I get home today. Well, you know, Democrats basically just gerrymandered themselves into Milwaukee and Dane County. And if you look at the numbers from the November election and the 1.3 million and some change people across the state who voted for Governor Evers, around 230 some thousand were in Dane County. I think another like 250 some thousand were in Milwaukee County.
Oh, that leaves many hundreds of thousands of people.
Over 800,000 that live in the other 70 counties in Wisconsin.
Huh.
And so there is indeed, I know sometimes it probably doesn't feel like it, but there are indeed Democrats who vote for Democratic statewide candidates across the state, and if they don't all just live in Madison and Milwaukee, and they also deserve to have representative government, both in their congressmen and in Madison. So
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think not everyone would agree with you.
No, the guy who left that comment doesn't agree with me. And this is literally how I'm going to start the video. It's like, do you like math? Let's do some math.
Let's math.
All right. When we come back, let's talk about child labor laws and why we have them. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Got no problem with saying goodbye. Is it wrong that I'm going to be having the time of my life? Because deep down I know I should cry.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. During an unannounced trip, President Biden shows up in Kyiv and renews his pledge of U.S. support and $500 million in new military assistance to Ukrainian President Zelensky. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
President Zelensky needs to see President Biden standing right next to him and pledging support and real support, not just in terms of moral support in the fight against Russia, but in terms of a new military package.
A familiar sound in Hatay, Turkey. Another earthquake struck near the Turkey-Syria border. This time it was magnitude 6.3 and at least three people have died. The area is reeling from deadly earthquakes 2 weeks ago. Authorities say an explosion and fire at a metal manufacturing plant in Oakwood, Ohio, south of Dayton, has sent more than a dozen people to hospitals. This man saw it.
I look over and I just see a plume of smoke and then the bigger explosion and then the ball of flame.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great, too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We welcome you to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And thank you for wherever you are listening this morning. Well, sometimes we always love it when Wisconsin in the wild is on something that's good.
Yes. Something to celebrate.
Something to celebrate. Something that's fun, like Giannis being the captain of the All-Star game,
right,
which we are going to talk about in the next segment. We don't like it when Wisconsin makes the news for breaking child labor laws.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
This is not good. So we've been running this on the newscast, but in case you've missed it, a Wisconsin-based food sanitation company was forced to pay $1.5 million in financial penalties for illegally employing more than 100 children across 8 different states. So at least 100, and this is only the ones they could prove.
Right. So who knows how many others?
Yes. At least 102 minors between the ages of 13 and 17 worked for this is in Grant County. This is where the company is headquartered, mm-hmm. but they have operations across 8 states, mostly in the Midwest, I think, with a couple in the South. Packers Sanitation Services, Inc., so PSSI is for short, and it's one of the country's biggest food safety sanitation companies. So they do a lot of sanitation for other big meatpacking companies.
Right.
So this was an investigation from the U.S. Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division, and this broke on Friday, and a department, there was a media briefing, and people from the Department of Labor said that the children were working overnight shifts, using hazardous chemicals to clean saws and other high-risk equipment at 13 different meat processing facilities in 8 different states. At least 3 were injured while they were working, including a 13-year-old who suffered from chemical burns.
Oh, my. Now, for people who have never worked third shift, and I have worked third shift.
I have not worked third shift, so I will default to you.
It's at least my shift was 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
And, well, we'll get into the more of the details, but this is... When I was reading further about this, this is far from the only company that is violating child labor laws. Since 2018, the Department of Labor has seen a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally.
50%?
50%. So a spokesperson from the Department of Labor, Jessica Luman, said that those violations can vary from children working more hours than allowed under law, using specific types of prohibited equipment, or working in industries that they shouldn't be. And, you know, I feel like this brings up, because was it just last year or was it 2 years ago that the Wisconsin State Legislature was trying to change the amount of hours that teenagers could work?
That's recent.
That's recent. I think it was either the end of 2021. I think it was early 2022, because I remember it happening before we started this show. And in some ways I understand the argument. I understand the argument of, you know, a character building job as a teenager. And I understand the argument of the labor shortage and encouraging more people to try to work to fill some of these roles. But these are very different than, like, working at Cold Stone.
Cold Stone Creamery.
Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, of, you know, my friends in high school in Madison, like, most of them either worked at Quiznos Subs after school, or I think there was a lot of them that worked at Bagels Forever, which also leads to another thing, because the grade that was 2 years ahead of us, their senior prank was that they bageled the front lawn of the school. Because there were so many kids who worked at Bagels Forever. They throw out the bagels every day. So they were collecting garbage bags of bagels until the senior prank, and they bageled the front lawn. Anyways, that's a...
And by the way, that was from 2021.
It was 2021.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, so like those are normal after school jobs.
I worked at A&W. Yeah, when I was 15.
And if you want to argue that those are the types of jobs, and if people under 18 have the ability to work more than 20 hours a week and go to school, fine. They should have the freedom to do that. Working the third shift as a 13-year-old and the exploitation that comes with that, because what kind of living situation are these children under that this is their option? That their only option to help their families, it's probably not go to school.
Yes. And to work.
And work a dangerous job overnight. And we're clearly not okay with that. They just had to pay a fine. But I also couldn't help but think a week ago when we were talking to John Russell and we're talking about Norfolk and the other train companies And then in the same conversation, we were talking the same day, we had the conversation with Carrie Spivak and Daphne Chen about the landlords and these companies that they just bake this into their budget, that it is probably worth it to them to continue to try to get away with hiring children and just pay the fine once they get caught than to follow the law and not hire children to work third shift dangerous jobs.
We have Ellen from Milwaukee on the line at 844-967-2789. What do you want to say, sir?
No, I had a couple of things to say about your discussion. First of all, it's against the law, the children, child labor laws from way back in the 1950s changed all of that to where they could not hire children. And if they did, after they have permission from the parents, they had to be 14 or older and they couldn't work more than 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's the law.
No, that is the law. And that's why they have a fine. But my point is, in the same way that we're talking about Norfolk and all these other industries where they just, these companies basically can bake into their budget to pay the fine, but continue to break the law.
But the deal is, are these children going to school? If they're not in school, that's against the law.
I saw less about reports about who the kids are. I'm sure there's probably limitations on how much reporting they can do because they're minors.
Sure.
But I would imagine that probably not. They're probably not going to
third shift. Hello?
Yes. We're still here.
You said they were working third shift?
Some of them, yeah. They were working overnight.
Well, they're not in school.
Yeah.
Or, it's against the law for them to not be in school until they're 18 years of age or until they graduate or unless they're emancipated at age 16 from their parents, where their parents are no longer responsible for them.
But we don't know.
There's a whole lot of laws that are being, from what you're saying, are being broken.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know that there's the laws are being broken. And but I'm saying the consequences for this company right now is a fine instead of anything more serious than that. And seemingly, it's not really that much of a slap on the wrist.
Well, again, they pay a fine. Thank you for calling, Al. By the way, 844-967-2789 if you want to check in with us on As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah, it's wrong. It's illegal. And we also don't know if the kids worked until 6 o'clock in the morning and then went right to school.
No.
We don't.
And I mean, it opens up to the presumption of the demographics of who these kids presumably are. I wouldn't be surprised if there was more reporting that's done on this to find out a lot of them are undocumented, that their parents are also undocumented.
Right.
And it's just trying to scrape by, that they're just trying to get money. And it's just another situation where it's an easily exploitable population. And in the face of this one example, which is a Wisconsin company, but also, as I said, the fact that since 2018, there's been a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally, maybe the ramifications for breaking those laws should be a little more aggressive. Maybe they should deter companies a little bit more than they are if there's this increase. And the fact of the matter is, well, we'll just pay the fine. It's fine.
Well, and that's really disturbing.
Right?
That they bake in these fines with the assumption that eventually they are going to get busted. So they pay the fine and they keep doing it anyway.
Because as we said, this is only the ones that they know of.
Right.
And
well, and we're not going to solve the labor shortage by turning to 13 and 14-year-olds, right?
No. And so I would love to hear from someone who, because I know that there are conservatives who complain that child labor laws in Wisconsin or nationally are too strict. And, you know, they want 16-year-olds to be able to work more than 20 hours a week. You know, and they want you know, it's just this idea of having that
freedom.
Yeah, I guess. And it, truthfully, it's like the freedom to work, right? And it is on the other side. If you want, if you are a young person who is entrepreneurial and you want to work that much, I understand the argument of that you should be able to. But it's also the fact that what jobs are we talking about? What shifts are we talking about? And as Alan said on the phone, legally they're supposed to be in school. So if they're skipping school to be able to put food on the table for their families, we have a bigger problem here as far as who we're allowing to just live in poverty, which, speaking of that, at 12:30 today, Sherry Tussler, who's the executive director of Hunger Task Force, is going to join us because on March 1st, so that's next Wednesday, the extended extra food share benefits that was going to around 400,000 Wisconsin families.
Wow.
I mean, it was a national program. This is a federal program that during the pandemic, they had extra money coming in every month. They voted in December for that to end March 1st. And between increased food insecurity and inflation and rising costs of utilities, of rents, of all these other things, food banks across the state are very worried about how they're going to keep up with demand, because this is basically the worst time that this could be happening. And so Sherry's going to join us to talk more about what she sees coming down the pipe with this in the work that Hunger Task Force does, because 400,000 families in Wisconsin suffer from food insecurity.
And a lot of these are children and senior citizens.
Yes. And so it just goes back to, like, what are we okay? Like, what conditions are we okay people living in? Because these kids only take these jobs out of necessity. It's not like they're like, yes, let me go work in a sand. This is going to teach me job skills, transferable job skills for me to get into college. Let's go clean some saws with chemicals that can burn me. Like, this is obviously out of necessity of these are the jobs that we can get.
Yep.
And we need to get because our family needs it.
And there are apparently companies who will turn the other way when someone comes in and makes an application and they look like they're 13.
Because there's no way you can tell me. It's one thing with a 17-year-old, like 60. Although I will say I've seen 16 and 17-year-old boys now and I'm like, are you 12?
I know.
Like, they don't look like they're about to be adults.
Right.
But certainly 13-year-olds, especially 13-year-old boys, are not fooling anyone that they're above age. Unless he's huge. But that's far in between. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Talking about the Bucks when we come back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country, and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit FinishYourDiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you.
brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected overnight with lows around 19. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Highs level off around 31. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Chance of snow tomorrow night. Lows level off around 28. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Me and Cage, we're Lakers for life, but there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, he's incredible. Follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, 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 1, 2, 3. Antetokounmpo, 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 MVP. Antetokounmpo, 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 yes, it's true.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Do you think he listens to that? Do you think I like as he has his big Beats earphones on, Giannis maybe just has this on his like playlist to pump himself up? Just like listening to his own.
I'd love to know what his motivational playlist is. I think that would be fascinating.
For a lot of them. Yeah. I wonder how I would assume that it's a lot of rap and like something with a strong beat, but I would love to know who has the most unique pump up playlist.
There's got to be a show tunes fan in there somewhere. Come on.
Yeah. Or who listens to like classical music just to zen out?
Little as Mozart.
And the different what works for which athlete?
Yeah.
I would listen to that song every day though. That was like someone had made a fun. My last name
Kristen
is nowhere
Bry,
near
Kristen Bry.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as fun as
we love her. It's Kristen Bry. Kristen Bry.
Well, last night was the All-Star game, and Team Giannis won. And so I guess they had some fun. I think it was different than it had been in the past, where him and LeBron took turns because LeBron was the other team captain, and they took turns picking. They had the starters set, if I'm understanding it correctly, but then they took turns like picking the rest of the team. And so Giannis, who has a injured wrist right now, I know they're going to get that checked out. But he was out there with his notebook and looking very official. He had planned a lot. I guess he had this whole strategy with Drew Holiday because he ended up not picking Drew first and he threw LeBron off, and it was a big,
ooh,
it was very fun.
Psychological games.
Yes, exactly. And so, but then they pulled it out. It was so funny because we didn't end up watching the All-Star game. We watched The Last of Us because it's appointment.
You're into it.
Appointment viewing. But we checked and at halftime the score was like 98-92. So it was just like, no one's playing defense.
Rack them up. Let them score.
But more exciting news, I think, because, you know, the All-Star game's just not a lot of consequence, really, for the season, but it's fun. There's lots of parties.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, you know, both the All-Stars of the NBA, but also a lot of celebrities, a lot of parties, a lot of hullabaloo in whatever host city has it. And maybe could be coming to Milwaukee in 2025 or 2026.
The All-Star Game.
The All-Star Game. So over the weekend, I think it was on Saturday, it was reported that the Bucks will submit a bid to host the NBA All-Star Game in either 2025 or 2026. And I think that makes sense. If you think about the infrastructure that had been started for the 2020 DNC that did not happen, the infrastructure that is continuing for the 2024 RNC that I think I'm assuming is going to happen. I don't think we're going to get another global pandemic between now and then.
Let's hope not.
But, you know, the Wisconsin Convention Center is going to be done. The hotel that's next to the Fiserv looks like it's almost done. And so, you know, ideally having the setup that we could host an NBA All-Star weekend. And it's basically, arguably, if we were to do that, even a bigger economic impact than the expectations of the RNC.
Seriously.
So on Saturday evening, because this one was in Salt Lake City, which obviously they have the infrastructure. They've had the Olympics, right? Like, and I don't know what we look up the population of Salt Lake City, because I don't know how much bigger or similarly sized population wise it is to Milwaukee. But on Saturday evening,
200,478.
So it's like half the size of Milwaukee. But they've built
that infrastructure
there to be able to host a lot of people. Because listen to this. This is the stats from this weekend. So NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, in his opening remarks at a press conference, said, quote, "In terms of the magnitude of All-Star, this is our largest in our history. They're estimating the economic impact here in Salt Lake City will be roughly $280 million.
Wow.
For a weekend.
Up for 3 days.
For 3 days. That's an all-time record. We have an all-time record in terms of hotel nights. We're occupying 33,000 hotels or hotel nights in the community here, and we have more fan events than any time in history." And so I'm pretty sure that the estimates for the RNC, which even those have been squishy.
Well, they're guesstimates.
They're guesstimates. And it's also, who's it economically impacting and everything? But so I don't know. There's probably the same argument that number is squishy for how many people actually end up seeing that trickles down to for the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that the estimates that were used by Visit Milwaukee and for the people who were really trying to sell this to the people of Milwaukee of why we should want the RNC to come was $200 billion. And so if this is serious, $280 million for a weekend, then I'm just going to say it, call me biased, it's probably way more fun than the RNC. There's way more parties I want to go to for an All-Star weekend, an NBA All-Star weekend in Milwaukee than RNC parties I want to go to.
I don't know. I think there's a whole bunch of Republicans I would like to have drinks with.
Well, we already know that maybe not Robin Voss.
That just puts him higher on my list, Kristen.
I'm so curious to flash forward a year from now and if civic media and our show, if there's anything that we could potentially get invited to as press, because it's just like, you know, obviously you guys lean left, but this is a big deal. And see if there's any doors or part that get opened or parties we get into to just be witness to the RNC.
I would think they would love having, you know, the opposition there so they can keep us all in a pen and direct all the rage of the attendees towards us. That just seems like a given. So,
yeah. So anyways, I'm in favor of this. I think it would be very fun. I would go to many parties if invited.
To the All-Star game.
The All-Star game. The NBA All-Star game, if we were to get that in a couple of years. Because the last time Milwaukee hosted an All-Star game was 1977.
Oh, my.
And I have to imagine it looked a little different.
Just even the length of the shorts.
That was a lot shorter. A lot
How
shorter.
Much,
a lot of legs.
That was a lot
the
of legs.
The 1970s basketball had a lot of legs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that does it for the 11 o'clock hour. When we come back, Representative Christina Shelton is back because her and Representative, well, we'll talk about it. She's going to be here next. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, 1, 2, 3. Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper, MVP. Auntie DeCooper, Auntie DeCooper.
3 little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. Pepto-Kids chewables provide fast relief for common stomach issues, turning those 3 words into these 3 words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for Pepto-Kids chewables. Fast relief for little tummies. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.